Welcome to the A Catholic Life Podcast. I am Matthew, the author of A Catholic Life, welcoming you to episode 45 of the A Catholic Life Podcast. In today's episode, on the fourth Sunday of Advent, I'm happy to address the following topics. First, Midnight Mass and the traditional Eucharistic fast. How should we prepare for Midnight Mass using the Church's traditional rubrics as well as the spirit of the law? Secondly, indulgences for praying the Divine Office on Christmas Day. I share more what the Church has done in the past to really emphasize the importance of praying liturgically on Christmas Day throughout the day. Three, the Companions of Christ, that is, St. Stephen, St. John, and the Holy Innocents, why they used to be all holy days of obligation, and their feasts are upcoming this week, of course. Four, I share a link to the Christmas compilation of articles, sermons, and prayers that I put together and I continue to update year after year, so that way it can be a good resource for anybody listening to this podcast. And lastly, a reminder to everybody that Friday in the octave of Christmas is still a required day of abstinence from meat. I'll have more information on these topics, as well as others, in this episode this week, as we are very soon to celebrate the birth of our Lord in Christmas, as well as the end to St. Martin's Lent. But before I do so, I'd like to stop and thank the sponsor for today's episode. This episode is sponsored by MyCatholicWill.com. MyCatholicWill.com provides you with the ability to provide a legacy of faith for those you love the most. With their online system, you can now complete your will in as little as 15 minutes and for under $79.95. You can create a will and leave a lasting legacy of faith, make gifts to charities as part of your will, achieve a peace of mind, request masses, plan for the future, and really ensure your family is taken care of after your death. MyCatholicWill.com has generously offered for that anybody listening to this podcast can save on their will. If you use the code CATHOLICLIFE20 as your unique referral code, you will have the ability to check out and save on your will. So as we enter the new year, and as we prepare for ensuring that we start the year off right, our finances are in order, our legal situation is also in order, I would ask that you consider MyCatholicWill.com and offer your support there rather than do so at a secular company. Again, thank MyCatholicWill.com for sponsoring this episode and use discount code CATHOLICLIFE20 as your unique referral code to save on their software. On to the first topic of today's episode, I'd like to address the Eucharistic fast and Midnight Mass. So what this really involves is, of course, anybody familiar with the Church's tradition knows that Pope Pius XII made changes to the immemorial Eucharistic fast. Before his changes, he had two changes in the 1950s. It was, with very limited exceptions, required that if you were going to receive Holy Communion, you had to fast from all food and from all liquids, including water, from midnight until the reception of our Lord in Holy Communion. And this was called the natural fast. This was enshrined in the 1917 Code of Canon Law in Canon 858. Such a fast applied to priests as well as anyone receiving Holy Communion. The English translation of that code stated, quote, "Those who have not kept the natural fast from midnight are not allowed to receive except in danger of death or in case that it should be necessary to consume the Blessed Sacrament to safeguard it against irreverence," end quote. Of course, there might be, a little bit more exceptions. Father Dominic Pruner in his Handbook of Moral Theology commenting on that law went to link to talk about it. He added that the fast should be calculated, noting midnight was computed very particularly. So, of course, we're talking about midnight in your own time zone, where you live from when you receive Holy Communion. It wasn't midnight in Rome, and that applied to you as midnight in your own location. He also noted six exceptions for the Eucharistic fast. One, in order to complete the sacrifice of the Mass, so a priest that would apply to him. Two, in order to preserve the Blessed Sacrament from irreverence. Three, in order to avoid public scandal. Four, in order to receive viaticum. Five, in order that Holy Communion may be given to the sick who have been confined to bed for a month without any type of hope of speedy recovery. And six, in order that catechumens may receive Holy Communion after tasting salt during their baptisms. So that last one is actually a very small matter, but, you know, according to the Church's very strict interpretation, Eucharistic fast, even consuming salt on one's tongue would make one ineligible for Holy Communion. But of course, these are the exceptions to those rules. It should also be noted that this code in the 1917 code was not a novelty of the 1970 code. As I've written about in the Definitive Guide to Catholic Fasting and Abstinence, the Eucharistic fast goes back centuries, goes back to the very, very early Church. The form of midnight until the reception of Holy Communion did not, of course, originate in the early Church, since the term midnight did not exist then. But the principle of consuming absolutely nothing whatsoever before Holy Communion is very much an ancient observance. Now, the question, though, as it concerns Christmas Eve, now, midnight Mass is celebrated at midnight on December 25th. As a result, one could, in theory, consume food at 11, 11:30, 11:45 p.m. and be perfectly eligible to receive our Lord and Holy Communion at midnight Mass, since it would be after midnight when the Mass begins. However, that would very much not be in keeping with the spirit of the law. And that's what I wanted to highlight here. So those of us who are preparing to go to midnight Mass tonight, what I would encourage you to do is use the counsel given by Father Herberst in a 1946 book entitled Questions of Catholic Answers, where he said, quote, "There is no special universal law for the Christmas midnight Mass. If there were any good reason for it, one might take food or drink just before 12 o'clock and yet receive communion during the Mass. No sin would be committed. However, it is to be strongly recommended that those who receive Holy Communion during the midnight Mass be fasting from at least 8 p.m. out of reverence for the Blessed Sacrament. One should have enough spirit of sacrifice to offer the Eucharistic Savior this little tribute of respect," end quote. So why 8 p.m. though? He goes on, quote, "We say 8 p.m. because when permission was granted some years ago that a Mass beginning at midnight might be regularly said at a certain famous European shrine, at which Mass the faithful might also receive Holy Communion, it was expressly prescribed that they be fasting from 8 o'clock on. We here see the mind of the Church legislating in a particular instance, and we say that this is at least the earnest wish of the Church in all instances, unless otherwise specified," end quote. So I'll have a link, of course, in the show notes. You can go and read more information. But for those of us who are preparing to receive our Lord tonight at Christmas midnight Mass, I would encourage you to keep the fast from 8 p.m. on in order to have some sort of a hunger to receive our Lord in Holy Communion. This, of course, is beyond the minimum required by the Church, but it would be something that would be worthwhile for us to do. Should also be noted that Mass is still obligatory on Christmas Day. So even though this is Sunday, this is the fourth Sunday of Advent, it also happens to be Christmas Eve, but liturgically it is celebrated as the fourth Sunday of Advent. This is distinct from Christmas, so you do have to go to Mass both days. You have to go to Mass today on the fourth Sunday of Advent, and you must go on Christmas as well. Of course, midnight Mass tonight is said on midnight of December 25th. That is on Monday this year, December 25th. That does not count for Sunday Mass. And of course, midnight Mass should never begin earlier than midnight. It should always be begun at midnight on. So that, of course, is another error. If you see priests trying to say the traditional Mass a little bit early, And no, midnight mass does have to begin at midnight. It cannot be anticipated. But the point for us is that we do have to go to mass twice in these days, today and tomorrow. On to the second topic I'd like to mention in this episode. It is the indulgences for praying the divine office on Christmas Day. Lest we forget the spiritual treasures of the church and the importance Holy Mother Church places on the sacred day of our Lord's Nativity, there's a reminder for this contained in the Recolta, that those of us who seek to pray the divine office on Christmas Day and join the church in her triumphant joy, we're always given indulgence for doing so. So even if you're busy with your family and you're opening gifts and you're having dinner and you're resting and you're doing all these wonderful things to celebrate the day, and of course, after Mass, of course, because all of this is really useless if you're not celebrating the birth of our Lord on Christmas. But even if you're doing all of this, it is important that we take time throughout the day to pray. And one of the reasons the church gives these indulgences to us is to help show us that even on the busyness of Christmas Day, of family activities and celebrations, it's important that we join the church in the praises of God and the divine office. So this is what the Recolta states, quote, "In order to increase the devotion of all her faithful Christians towards the feast of the birthday of our divine Savior, Jesus Christ, and that they may celebrate it with spiritual profit to their souls, Pope Sixtus V, in his brief dated October 22, 1586, granted the following indulgences." And it goes on to state an indulgence of 100 years to those who, being truly penitent, having confessed and communicated, shall recite the divine office on that day, or assist in person at any church where matins or lauds are said. He goes on, 100 years indulgence for the Mass, and the same for the first and second Vespers. And he goes on, the indulgence of 40 years for each of the hours of Prime, Terce, Sect, Non, and Compline. So, of course, all this to say, please pray the divine office on Christmas Day as we celebrate our Lord's birth and as we join in these official prayers of the church. I'll have a link to those notes, of course, in the show notes. On to the third topic I'm really looking forward to highlighting in this particular episode is that of the companions of Christ, the committees. So I've written an article some years ago for the Fatima Center entitled "The Companions of Christ, The Forgotten Three Holy Days of Obligation After Christmas." Now, the octave of Christmas, beginning on Christmas Day and continuing until its octave day on January 1st, is unique. Since the feasts of St. Stephen, St. John the Apostle, and the Holy Innocents, which are celebrated in the second, third, and fourth days respectively of the Christmas octave, used to be holy days of obligation in their own right. Few people are aware of these former holy days, and that they were actually holy days of obligation for centuries. The three are sometimes known as the committees of Christ, that is, the companions of Christ, and their connection is not an accident. And Catholics should be taught to honor these feast days in a truly special manner, even if they're no longer holy days of obligation. In fact, I would strongly encourage anybody and everybody to attend Mass as much as possible this week, on December 26th, on the 27th, on the 28th, of course, even on the 29th, as I'll share more and more information, that we should be going to Mass much more this week as we celebrate our Lord's Nativity, but also these great companions of Christ. Now, one interesting point to note is that using the list of holy days as set forth by Pope Urban VIII, which kept the committees as days of precepts, and of course that list comes back from the year 1642, England would have observed as a holy day of obligation the Feast of St. Thomas Becket as well, and that was celebrated on December 29th. As a result, Catholics in England would have observed five consecutive holy days of obligation before only a 1 or 2 day break before the Feast of the Circumcision on January 1st, another day of precept. One or two, because of course we also have a Sunday in there as well. The vestige of the prominence of the committees was retained up until the liturgical changes immediately preceding Vatican II. In fact, even though St. Stephen, St. John, and the Holy Innocents had ceased being holy days of obligation some time ago, their feasts would take precedence over the Sunday within the octave of the Nativity until the changes in the early 1960s. And when Pope Pius XII on March 20th, 3rd, 1955, abolished 15 octaves. He then abolished the octave of St. Stephen, St. John, and the Holy Innocents. So that's right. Each of these three feast days also had their own octaves. And while these octaves were, since the time of St. Pius X, only simple octaves, meaning they were not commemorated at all during the octave, but only on their active days, they had in previous times been commemorated throughout the octave of our Lord's Nativity. Of course, the liturgical year is a wonderful tapestry of intertwined feasts and fasts. To study our Catholic history and to seek to rediscover an appreciation and a love for the feasts that our ancestors observed is certainly worthwhile. And we can do our part by observing these companions of Christ, by attending Holy Mass in their feast days, and by cultivating a special devotion to them during their octaves. Now, a few things I'll note, one of which is St. John the Apostle, his feast day, December 27th, is the traditional day to have wine blessed. So there are certainly going to be some people who are familiar with that there's a traditional wine blessing that would be often had after Mass on December 27th. The priest will say the traditional prayer blessing from the Roman ritual, and it's the day to have your wine blessed. And there's a wonderful cheers that you can do as a family that night, where you would toast, you know, the father would toast to the mother, for instance, or to the next person. I toast to you in the love of St. John. You would continue that toast around. This, of course, is because of the tradition that St. John the Apostle was poisoned. And as he was blessing the chalice of which he was going to drink the wine from, that the poison came out as a serpent and he was left unharmed. So we do this in his honor. The other thing I'll note is that the Holy Innocents on December 28th has a lot of interesting history, especially before the changes in the 1950s. This was a day celebrated with violent vestments because, of course, we are commemorating the murder of so many young children by Herod. This is the day, for instance, the Gloria is traditionally not said during the Mass. And it's also, in some places, I found a reference that there was a voluntary period where there would be abstinence from fats on this particular day in honor of the children killed by Herod. So I'll have links in the show notes to more information that those who want to learn more about these unique customs. And of course, I'll also say that if any of this interests you, if you'd like to have more information regarding a lot of these unique customs and traditions, please pick up a copy of Restoring Lost Customs of Christendom, my recent book just published a few weeks ago by Our Lady of Victory Press. I talk about St. John's Day, St. Stephen's Day, the Holy Innocents, Christmas, and so much more in there. So please pick up a copy. It's available on PDF, Kindle, paperback, as well as a free PDF for all of my Patreon supporters as well. Now on to the next topic of this lesson. I do want to note that I continue to update a list of links that I originally put together in 2006 called the Advent and Christmas Compilation. I have links to so many different articles, prayers, devotions, and sermons on that page. And, you know, for not only Advent, but for the Christmas period. So if you're looking for the traditional prayer blessing for a Christmas tree, the blessings for the nativity scene, of course, the traditional one, the novena to the Magi, why it's important to pray for the holy souls in purgatory, especially on December 25th, the Holy Family prayer, Epiphany tide traditions, and so much more. Please check out a link to the show notes to that for much more information. One thing, though, I do want to highlight is St. John Chrysostom's brief Christmas sermon that I have in there. I think it's worthy meditation for us, where this saint writes, quote, "What can I say or how can I describe this birth to you? The Eternal One has become an infant. He who sits upon the sublime and heavenly throne now lies in a manger. For this he assumed my body, that I may become capable of his word. Taking my own form, he gives me his spirit, and so he bestowing and I receiving, he prepares me for the treasure of life. He takes my form to sanctify me. He gives me his spirit that he may save me." There's so much we can learn by simply opening pages and reflecting on the past of what so many saints have gone before us, have written and said. We don't need novelties. We don't need many new things. We need simply people to make available what already exists, so that we can consume that and grow in the wisdom that illuminating so many people before us, people who, like St. John Chrysostom, we can say definitively and infallibly are in heaven and see God now. And the last thing I'd like to mention in this particular episode is a reminder that Friday in the octave of Christmas is still a required day of abstinence. Per the 1917 Code of Canon Law, abstinence is required every single Friday of the year unless it's a holy day of obligation. And this particular Friday is not a holy day of obligation. St. Thomas Becket's feast day has not been a holy day of obligation in America, and it has ceased being one in England even centuries ago, at least as well. Or at least quite a while ago in England. Friday in the octave of Christmas is itself not a holy day of obligation. I should even note that even in the novelties introduced in the late 60s with the advent of the Novus Ordo calendar and its own rules, that the novelty was that if it's a solemnity that abstinence is no longer required on Friday. Well, Friday in the octave of Christmas, even in the Novus Ordo calendar, is not a solemnity. So even for those who follow the very weakened Novus Ordo calendar and its novelties regarding fast and abstinence are still obliged to do penance this particular Friday. So please remember that even though it is Friday in the octave of Christmas, the fact that we're in the midst of an octave does not change anything. The fact that so many octaves has been eliminated from the church in the 1950s and there's so few left, people don't know how octaves work. They don't know how the ranking of octaves change or what days within the octaves really mean. But the fact is Friday in the octave of Christmas is still a required day of abstinence. And I will have more information in the show notes if you'd like to take that and share that with other people. So that way they know for sure and definitively that they need to do so as well this particular Friday. Thank you everybody for listening. May God grant you most blessed week and a very Merry Christmas as we end the fast of St. Martin's Lent, as we now begin this joyous period of celebrating our Lord's birth. Tomorrow, Christmas Day, begins the beginning of Christmas, which will go until Candlemas on February 2nd. Thank you everybody for listening, and let us strive for greater holiness this and every week. I thank you again. Ad Maiorem Dei Gloriam.
Quid omnis peccata est.